good morning. God bless you. Welcome. We're so glad you're here today. The Lord just gave us a beautiful, beautiful morning, and we're thanking for that. How many want it to stay like this, okay? And wouldn't that be great? And I was telling the 8:30 service 2 weeks ago, we had to fight through snow to get here, and today we had to fight through the sun. And because I know a lot of you have things you'd like to do, but we're thankful we're here, and I want to try to please the Lord, but we're glad you're here today. Hope you've had a good morning so far. Guests, thank you for coming. We know there's a lot of churches around, and we're just thrilled and thankful that you are here today. And if this is your first time, we'd love to connect with you afterwards. We got a little gift for you. If you'd like, in the seat back in front of you is a little connect card. You can fill that out. That's just our way of getting to know you better and how we can pray for you and serve you. But thank you for coming today. And of course, in honor of St. Patrick's Day, I have a quote by St. Patrick, which, by the way, if you do some history, and you'll see, you know, of course, the world has kind of commercialized this day. Patrick was used of God in a mighty way to lead a barbaric king to Christ in Ireland, and many, many people turned to Christ because of his influence. He sure did love the Lord, and he wrote this: "The Lord is greater than all. I have said enough." And may I say, the Lord is greater than all. And we get to worship Him this morning, and we get to sing praise to God. Let's listen to our choir sing this morning.
Well, good morning again. Let's stand together. We have some songs we're going to be singing today. We're starting off with a great chorus. Every promise in the book is mine. Words are on the screen. Let's join our voices together as we sing it. Ready?
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All the blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine.
Let's do that one more time. Sing it out. Ready?
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line.
Hymn writers were either children of clergymen or at least raised in a good godly home and environment. But this was not the case of our next songwriter. I could quote him verbatim by saying, "My Sundays were spent in the streets. So ignorant was I that I did not know that there was a God." Edward Mote gave other testimony and telling of his bringing up, that he was pretty much raised in a tavern setting. Never heard of God, never heard of the love of the Lord or anything of that nature, until as he was working for a cabinet maker, came the end of the week, the end of the last day of work for that week, and the cabinet maker said, "Son, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday?" Well, he had no reason to not do it, so he went to church with his boss. And that Sunday morning, for the first time, he heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and trusted Christ as his Savior. Not long after that, on the way to work, the Lord gave him this next song. And as he worked throughout that one day, the Lord gave him the verses and everything. And we were going to sing that here this morning, "The Solid Rock." Aren't you thankful that we have a Savior who is our solid rock? Amen. We have three verses of this song. Let's join our voices together as we sing. Ready?
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, all blessed to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let's remain standing and take a couple of minutes and greet one another this morning. Thank you. As we make our way back, let's remain standing. We're going to sing a chorus, Praise the Name of Jesus. It's a short chorus, but it's a good one. Words are on the screen. Let's join our voices together as we sing. Ready? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In Him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Wonderful singing. You may be seated.
Well, God bless you. And as always, we got to get everybody back where they're at. But that means that we're enjoying the people of God. And we're so thankful that you're here this morning. Thank you for being a part of the greeting time. And whether you're visiting with us or you've been a while, we just really care about getting to know each other and being a blessing. And so if you're visiting with us, thank you for coming once again. And it's always our joy and privilege to have visitors at Grandview Baptist Church. We do not take it lightly. And we do have a gift for you on your way out if you'd like to. If you'd like to fill out the Connect card in the seat back in front of you, we'd love to get to know you and help you as well. Just a few quick things to make mention. Of course, it was a busy week here at Grandview Baptist Church. And of course, on Thursday, we dismissed school for spring break. And so the Lord gave us a nice week for spring break. And we're thankful for that. But I know a lot of people are out of town. But they're having a great time, I'm sure. But, you know, one of the families out of town is the Mutchlers. They are in Victorville, California, helping out with a lady sing in a missions conference. And Brother Mutchler wanted me to announce that this Friday there is an activity at the Abundant Life class. You say, what's the activity? Eating. And that's a good activity, huh? And so if you're interested in being a part of that, I promise you, if Miss Vicky's overseeing it, not to throw any shade on Brother Mutchler, but if Miss Vicky's overseeing the feeding, it's going to be great. And there's a sign-up sheet in the back there you can take advantage of. Also, they're going to Alaska cruise on September 14th this year. If you'd like more information about that, next week after the service, there'll be a meeting about that. So that's for our Best Years Club. I think you have to be 55 or older. And so I know none of you are there yet, but when you get there, you can be a part of that. That'll be a great time. You know, I appreciate the prayers for different families in our church on Tuesday. I got to go see Dave and Fayrene, and got to get a picture with Dave and talk to him a little bit. And then Fayrene let me know on Wednesday night that he was transitioning. And on Thursday morning, Dave went to go be with his Lord and Savior. And this is in the words of Fayrene, it was a sweet time where he transitioned to be in the arms of Jesus Christ. And if you know Dave, you knew he knew Jesus well. And he gets to be up there fellowshipping with Jesus right now. But pray for the family. And we're thankful you're here today, Fayrene. Please let her know. I know you have. Don't overwhelm her. But please let her know you love her. And we're here for you as a church. Many of you know you've experienced this. And pray for her and the family. Very difficult time. I got to do the funeral yesterday for the Suda family. Many of you have been praying for Kevin and Melissa and Stephanie and all those in the Suda family and the loss of their brother. And please continue to pray for them and as they continue to recover through all this. But we are praising the Lord that seven people accepted Christ as their Savior. And the funeral also, let's see, where's Helen Heidel? She was telling me that she got to lead someone to Christ yesterday, and I'm sure there's others as well. And we're just excited to see people still accepting Christ as their Savior. But let's pray for the Suda family during this time. Also, we got to see Merle White back in the service this morning, one of our deacons. He's been struggling with some health issues. And I got to talk to Dwayne Dunham this week, and Dwayne was in the ministry for years. He's in his 90s now, probably watching right now. Pray for his sweet wife, Gail, who has bone cancer, and the doctors have said there's nothing more we can do. We're just trying to keep managing the pain. So pray for them. And I will just say this, so many of you pray for, I know, our shut-ins, but let's not forget them. And if the Lord impresses someone on your heart, or maybe a call or a quick note goes a long way, so I want to encourage you in that area. But I want to share that with you. If you didn't get a sermon handout when you came in, men, if you'll get those out and raise your hand up if you'd like to follow along in the message today. A lot of them are already out, so there's only a few left. But if you didn't get one and would like to have one in the balcony or down below here, we want to get these out. You can follow along in the message. Inside of there, what we started doing is kind of putting a little bit of a bulletin sheet back in there. And so you can kind of see our upcoming events. Of course, Easter's coming up just real quick. And just a couple of weeks, our Easter services are going to be a little different this year. Not a little different this year. A little different than normal. And so Friday night will be the first showing of our dramatic musical. Let's see, Your Only Jesus. That will be Friday night. That will also take the place of our Sunday night service just this weekend on Easter. I want to encourage you in that area. And then Sunday morning, instead of doing the 8:30 and 11, we'll just have the 11 o'clock service. And so I want to keep that in mind. We are doing Sunday school at 10 o'clock to 10:30, so don't forget about that. But then we'll just do the morning service on that day. And then after the service, we'll have a large, huge Easter hunt for all the kids. And so thank you for helping us by inviting people to come. Many of you have grabbed flyers on your way out. Grab a few more today if you can. We want to get these out and invite people to church. Next to there, you'll see a picture of some ovens. And we kind of mentioned the need last week, kind of in passing with the youth explosion. Our ovens are kind of going out, and they've been a blessing to us through the years, but we just need to upgrade. They're just not able to do the job anymore. And we use the ovens a lot in our outreach events to make sure people come and are fed and also get to hear about Jesus Christ. And so if you'd like to be a part of that, someone in our church has generously offered to double every dollar that comes in for this. And so there's a match gift. So every dollar you're able to give will be matched up to a certain point. So I want to encourage you to do that. So maybe we can get some new ovens soon. We got some other things coming up too. Level Up will be next Sunday night. I want to encourage you to be a part of that. And then the missions trip, there's still a few more spots. We're going to Thailand this year. But TJ's just done a great job organizing all this. You'll want to be a part of that if you can. I know the date to sign up is coming to a close, so let me encourage you to do that as well. Men, if you'll get ready for the offering this morning, we'll get ready to give back to God as He's given to us. 2 Chronicles 31:5 says, "And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly." And the children of Israel show us, well, of course, as God's Word wants us to be faithful in our giving. And thank you for your faithfulness and your giving. And we're able to do so many things around here because of God's people being faithful. And then as we look toward the future with our building program, we had a great meeting with our architect this week. We're going to have more details to come, but it is moving along the building, and we're excited about that. And we'll share that with you soon. So I encourage you to pray about that. At this time, we've been having different leadership in our church pray for the offering, and we've been going through our deacons. And so Chuck Dalby is going to be coming up today. Chuck is just a servant of the Lord, and he loves God. He loves God's people. He loves God's work. And he's been a very big help to me, kind of as just some counsel and advice. Of course, his business that he has, God's given him much wisdom in that area, and he's been a blessing there. He serves consistently in our church, and his children, of course, just love the Lord. Connor here is on staff, and then his wife is also on staff in the school. Not going to find a greater family than this that loves God and loves people. They've been a great help and a friend to me, and I know to so many others. Brother Chuck, if you'll pray for the offering this morning.
All right, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much for your love for us, Lord, and just for the opportunity to give back what you've given to us, Lord. We just ask that you would bless this offering and bless our church, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. with shout of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of another band of shining ones drew nigh. They entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? He seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of
blessing that was. Thank you, Nicole. What a hard song maybe to sing because of
all the different octaves and stuff. But what a powerful, powerful truth. And if you can't get excited about heaven after that song, I don't know. But I'm sure thankful that Jesus Christ was willing to save an old sinner like me. And I can go in because of His precious blood on Calvary. And you too can too if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. May I encourage you to do it today. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you will. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We'll continue our series through 1 Samuel. Of course, we talked about bringing change to a nation. We talked about birthing change to a nation. Then last week we talked about blocking change to a nation. Of course, we alluded to Hophni and Phinehas and, of course, what was going on in the church services and the priesthood. And today we're going to talk about becoming change to a nation. And really, this will be a two-part message. We'll get through the first half of the chapter today and then we'll finish the rest of the chapter next week. But I want us to see several different qualities of how Samuel became the type of leader God needed him to be. And we all start somewhere as a Christian. Maybe as a young Christian, maybe you're an older person who accepted Christ as your Savior, but we all start somewhere. But God has a purpose and a plan for our life. And how do we get there? Well, I want to give you some thoughts over the next few weeks that I think will help you as we look at Samuel's life. If you physically are able to and you can stand to your feet this morning, we want to, out of the read God's Word and out of course, respect to His Word, in verse number 1, 1 Samuel chapter 3, it's on the screen, it's there in your notes, or of course, follow along in Scripture. The Bible says, "And Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you again for loving us. I pray you'll help us today as we learn how to become the change and a nation needs, as we learn how to become a vessel that can hear you, and Lord, that can act upon what we hear, and you can use us to do great and mighty things for you in our life. Lord, I pray you'll help us to learn from Samuel today and his young life and how it can be a mirror picture really of us as a young Christian and Lord, as a mature Christian and how we grow closer to you. And Lord, I pray you'll be with these dear people, Lord, that have come from all over. What a great crowd on a nice day and spring break weekend. I appreciate the faithfulness of your people. Lord, I thank you for those who maybe can't tune in online, but they're here and viewing, Lord, I pray you'll be with them and wrap your arms around them, hold them close. Lord, I pray you'll be with those who are serving right now and the children and the nursery and the teens. Lord, I pray you'll just touch their hearts and be with the speakers there. I just pray that you'll just open up our hearts and ears and be with me, Lord. I certainly do want to say what you'd have me to say today. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit power as I've asked already today. I pray you'll do it again. And I pray that you'll use this message in a powerful way, Lord, to convict us, Lord, to comfort us, to challenge us. Whatever you'd love to do in us, Lord. If there be someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, may they come to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. There was a little boy named Joshua. He was a precocious 2-year-old. In other words, he was kind of beyond his time as a 2-year-old. He was very smart, very brilliant. And, of course, one day he was watching his mother baking cookies. And he asked, "Please, may I have one?" He knew it was right before dinner, so he probably wasn't going to get it. But he was going to ask anyways. And his mother, of course, said, "Not before supper." Joshua ran tearfully to his room, just heartbroken. He wanted that cookie. And then he reappeared with this message. "Mommy, Jesus just told me it's okay to have a cookie now." His mother looked back and said, "That's funny, Joshua, because Jesus didn't tell me." Joshua replied, "You must not have been listening, Mommy." Now, the boy's motivation was certainly wrong, but he was absolutely right about two things. God longs to speak to us, and we need to listen. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we see another young boy who learns these same ageless principles. When Samuel followed Eli's counsel, he was open to receiving God's powerful message. And like Samuel, we too, I believe, most of us, if not all of us, long to hear God speaking to us and to be able to discern His voice. And Samuel's life gives us many experiences of a soul that was not only born of God, but wholly devoted to Him. This morning I want us to see several things, and way of introduction we'll see, first of all, he was asked of the Lord. He was asked of the Lord in chapter 1, verse 20. Literally, Hannah says, "Because I have asked Him of the Lord." You remember, of course, she was driven to her knees because of the tears and the bitterness and the hard times she received from, of course, her husband's other wife, and how difficult it was to deal with that. And then she was misunderstood by her husband. And of course, she was mocked even by the priest Eli, who should have sympathized and helped. But yet she still asked of the Lord, and God gave her a son. We know that she was willing to give that son back to God. We see not only was he asked of the Lord, but he was consecrated of the Lord. In verse 28, she says, "I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And of course, we saw in chapter number 2, the fountain of her praise. We see the findings of her purpose and how she was blessed because she gave her son back to God. But we also see the fruit of her parenting. And we saw a wonderful, wonderful story of a young woman who submitted herself to God and the blessing she received from it. Last week, though, we saw, of course, the opposite of that. A man who did not consecrate his children to the Lord. And because of that, two young men who were selfish, self-centered, and were taking from the people. And it's a very interesting contrast of young men, of course, in the temple. One who's wholly devoted to God. The other ones are wholly against God. And today I want us to see three ways of the seven that we'll study next week. Three of the seven today and four next week. Of what process Samuel went through to be the kind of man God needed him to be. And first of all, we see a young man working for the Lord. A young man working for the Lord there in your notes if you're writing. The Bible says in verse 1, "The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli." Now this is a very interesting verb that's used several times throughout Scripture. The Greek word is sherath, which is used oftentimes throughout Scripture. We see it in Joseph ministering to the imprisoned officials. We see Joshua, who is ministering to Moses. We see Elisha, who is ministering to Elijah. Of course, sherath. We see the word sherath with the Levites to Aaron. And it's interesting here that these Levites ministering to Aaron, it wasn't a slave type relationship. It was a servant heart relationship. And may I say this morning, we are never made to serve the Lord. But my dear friend, we should have a desire to want to serve Him. And we see that same thing here. These men weren't slaves. They were willing service to God. We see in this passage, the word sherath once again is a young child who was ministering to Eli. But what's interesting here is though he does not know much, as we see in verse number 7, the Bible says Samuel did not know yet the Lord, and neither was the word revealed to him as of yet. He still knew he could do something for God. And may I say, you may be a younger Christian, or maybe you've only been saved for a few years, or maybe a little bit more than that, and you wonder, what exactly does God have for me? I want everything right now. And God says, hey, I will reveal it to you. I will show it to you. I will guide you. But you need to do what you can now until that time comes. And we see that Samuel was willing to do what he could do. And what was he that he did? Well, verse number 2, the Bible says there, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim." So we see Eli is getting older. His eyesight is fading and he could not see. And the Bible says in verse number 3, "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." What was the lamp of God? Well, if you know anything about the tabernacle, you know it was a seven-branched golden candlestick that stood in the holy place, of course, beside the Ark of the Covenant, before the veil, to the left of the golden altar of incense. It was the only source of light in the holy place, and it was supposed to be kept on at all times, and the wicks must be trimmed, and it was needed to be lit. And it was a symbol, as Wiersbe tells us, that it was the symbol that God's truth was given to the world through His people Israel. So it was important that this lamp would stay lit. It was important that it would continually to be lighted, because it was showing the people that God is actually a lamp through His people Israel. And the light of God's Word was, as it said, burning dimly in those days. Now, we look at this as a physical symbol, of course, but it also was a spiritual symbol. And this spiritual symbol was waxing dim. Not only was Eli's eyesight dim, but also the spiritual light was starting to be snuffed out because of the prophet, the priest, and his boys, who really wasn't in tune with God. And because of that, the Bible says there was no open vision. This is in the part where everyone did right was right in their own eyes, and it was starting to dim out. But Samuel was there to help it stay lit. And may I say today, we as Christians must be salt and light in a world where it's dimming more and more and more. You just need to look at the news and you can see that there's problems out there. The light is starting to be snuffed out, but we as God's people must be salt and light. As Psalms 119 verse 105 says, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As Proverbs 6 verse 23 says, For the commandment is a lamp, the law is a light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. As Proverbs 20 verse 20 says, Whoso curses his father or mother, his lamp shall be put in obscure darkness. And that's what's happening with Hophni and Phinehas. Their lamp is being put in obscure darkness. But if we put the light of the world, the light of the Word, if you will, in our life, we will light up this world. And what's interesting here, in a place where there was not much vision, there was precious Word of God that was not coming very often. It was very precious. It was valuable. It describes God's Word, as the Bible says in verse 1. It shows God's loving kindness, and it shows God's wisdom. That was not being shown much. As Psalms 36 verse 7 tells us, How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the loving kindness and mercy of God, but that was not being shown very much at this time. Why? Because of the unbelief and the unrighteousness of God's people. Years ago, in 1908, actually 1930s, there was a gentleman, his name was Helmut Thiele, and he was a preacher and a theologian. He endured great opposition and great persecution at the hands of the Nazi dictatorship. He was in the regime in Germany, and he was, though he received much opposition and much persecution, he still was committed to proclaiming God's presence and power in Jesus Christ during a very difficult and perplexing time. Scholar Robert Smith was said to say that Thiele addressed modern issues and problems in his sermons. And he sought to answer this question: Is there any word from the Lord? May I say today, you and I are all seeking the word of the Lord today. And what has God said that will strengthen and guide us through the difficulties and opportunities we face? But may I say, as we deepen our relationship with the Lord, we must improve our hearing to God's word. Say, Pastor Justin, I want to get a word from the Lord, and there's a difficult times, and these circumstances I'm going through are difficult. What should I do? Well, number one, we should meditate upon God's Word. If we know what God's Word has already been spoken, may we discern His voice clearly. May we meditate on His Word. Aren't you thankful today that we have the whole Word of God? He is the author of this book. He has preserved this book. By the way, it's still relevant to you and I today. We have the Word of God. May we meditate upon it. May we establish a time to listen to God. When's your time with God every day? Do you run with God? Do you walk with God? Do you spend time with God? Do you expect God to speak? Do you believe the truth that He wants to speak to His children? Dehan said this, God who formed worlds by the power of His Word speaks through the Scriptures, His truth to be heard. And if we read with the will to obey, He by His Spirit will show us His way. God speaks through His Word to those who listen with their heart, Brown says. Jesus calls me, I must follow Him today. When His tender voice is pleading, how can I delay? God wants to lead and He wants to show His children the way to go. Christ calls the restless ones to find their rest in Him. And we kind of see that over the next few verses, if you're following along there in verse number 4, that the Lord called Samuel and He answered, Here am I. He ran to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And Eli says, I called not. Lie down again. And this happened second time. And finally, in verse number 9, after the third time, Eli said unto Samuel, Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. May I say today, Henry Blackaby gives the application. Now, perhaps you know a man or woman who's on the inside track with God's will, maybe, God's Word. Say, why can't I have that? Well, may I encourage you that everybody, like Samuel, starts somewhere. And Samuel didn't even know that God was speaking to him. So it takes time. It takes effort. It takes a time with God and listening to His Word. I remember several years ago when we were in Turlock, God allowed us to move from a hotel to an Adventist church that was meeting on Saturdays. We met there on Sundays. And we really needed the space. The lady in the hotel said, unless you move out soon, you either A, you're going to have to cut your congregation in half, or you're going to do something. I said, well, I can't do that. And so we moved to this Adventist church. It was just really a blessing. It worked well for us. They were letting us use their gym. They were letting us use their modulars. And, of course, we had the auditorium there. And God was blessing. And we were growing. And we had a lot of people. And one particular day, we had a special day. And we had a rowdy teenager who was chasing another rowdy teenager. Those rowdy teenagers. No, I'm teasing. You guys are great. They were running around. And they tripped over this water faucet. And water started spraying everywhere. And I told the people at the church, I said, it wasn't us. It had to be you guys, you know. No, I said, it's us. I'm sorry. We'll fix it. What do we do? And the lady I was working with came up to me and says, you know, I think you need to do more and fix it. I think it's time for you to start looking for another place. I said, we can get you another water thing. She goes, that's not the point. She goes, you're running us out of this place. I said, well, let's try, you know. We'll take your church and you can have, you know. Whatever. So then I was up. Man, it was tough because we were out of space. We knew we had to move on. So we started looking for other buildings. And every place we went in Turlock was really expensive. Or it was really small. And on the back 40, back in the back of wherever. And you couldn't even have a map. GPS wouldn't even get you there. What are we going to do? We prayed, we struggled with it, and couldn't find a place. And I was about to my wit's end. I thought, Lord, this is your church. You got to do something. So that next day, we're driving through a little town called Denair, which is about a mile from Turlock. And as we're going down the road to Turlock Lake, we're going to have a good time with the family. I look to my right, and there's a building that's for sale. That's an old church building. And I laughed. I said, who would buy that? And I drove by it. And the Lord touched my heart and says, you need to look into that. I said, no, I don't think so, Lord. You know, the paint is peeling. All the landscape is dead. The grass is dead. It looks awful. It was built in 1907. I mean, that is not a place where a new church wants to go and impact their world, you know. As we're coming back through again, I look up and the Lord says, you need to go to this place. And there was a sign that said, Your Rich Realty. And it dawned on me, my brother-in-law was working for that company. And the Lord said, what's your excuse now? So I called my brother-in-law. I said, hey, I said, you need to find out some information about this, but don't worry about it. It's not that big deal. I just need you to do it for the Lord's sake. Okay. And so he came back to me. He says, well, he goes, I asked him, why are they selling it? He goes, well, here's why they're selling it. Because they've had 10 different churches meet in there, and every one of them has closed down and moved out. Because it just doesn't work there. I said, well, that's what I thought. I said, well, Lord, did you hear that? He says, well, don't you serve a big God? I said, of course I do. Well, show me your bigness in another area, you know. And I'll never forget going and walking through that place, and they didn't have one thing in there. There was two pictures on the wall that were eagles flying in that had been painted in like the 50s, you know. That's all they had in the whole place. There wasn't a trash can. We didn't have any furniture. We had nothing. We were using everything in the other church we were at. We didn't even have, you know, a chair. We had a pulpit. That's all we need, right? You know. And I said, Lord, are you sure? And he said, yes. Well, we needed some pews. And so we went in and we talked to the people and they said, we want $3,000 a month. I said, tell you what. I said, Lord, I'm going to offer them $2,000. They won't take it, but if they do, we'll sign the lease. I walked in there and I said, well, we'll give you $2,000 a month. They said, sign the paper. I mean, you got to understand, in perspective, it's 9,000 square feet. In Turlock, 10,000 square foot, like office building or anything, was going to be about $10,000 a month. So this is an incredible deal. But we have a pastor who's bullheaded, you know, stubborn. What are you going to do? You got to obey God's word. What he's telling me. We moved in there and I said, okay, we got to get some pews. So we found out someone on a church was giving away pews that were 25 years old. Let me give you a little hint. When a church is giving away pews that are 25 years old, there's a reason. We got those things. We brought them home and I was like, I mean, you know, coffee stains. I don't know why there'd be coffee stains on there, you know. Holes in the pews, and they were dirty, and we scrubbed and scrubbed, and I'm sure my wife and my brother-in-law and were thinking, what has happened to Pastor Justin? Or, no, my wife went to that. What happened to my husband? You know, what's going on? Finally finished those, put them in there. We walked in, had our first service there, and I thought, Lord, what are you doing? And that ended up being a great building. I'll give more details in a little bit. But I just want us to see that when you're serving the Lord, He'll speak to you. Sometimes you don't want to hear it. Sometimes you don't want to hear it because you know it's going to be a step of faith. But may I encourage you to follow what He says. Second of all, if you're writing, we see Samuel not just working for the Lord, but he's waiting on the Lord. The Lord has spoken to Samuel twice now, and he runs to Eli. And Eli, of course, is mature enough in his faith to know that he's not worthy of hearing from the Lord anymore because of his failure as a priest and as a father. And so he believes that God is going to speak to Samuel. Of course, in verse number 10, and the Lord came and stood and called out as other times, Samuel, Samuel. The Samuel answered and said, speak, for thy servant heareth. Speak. For thy servant heareth. An annoyed senior citizen from Richmond Heights, Missouri, hung up on President Reagan one day. This happened not just once, but half a dozen times. He did not believe the operator when she insisted that the White House was calling. He was so sure it was a prank that he didn't stay on the line. But the Southwestern Bell operator and a neighbor finally convinced him it was for real. And as a result, the man had the privilege of chatting with President Reagan for about 15 minutes. Oftentimes, we don't believe it's really God, but sometimes it's God speaking. May I say we need to be discerning in that. As David Guzik says, when speaking to us, God almost always confirms His word again and again. It is generally wrong to do something dramatic in response to a single inner voice from the Lord. God will clearly show you in a variety of ways if He wants you to do something. May I encourage us today to know that God speaks to us, first of all, through His written word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, that the man of God may be perfect. God also speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but that spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. For who hath the mind of Christ, verse 16, mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. And so we see God uses His Word through the preaching, the teaching, the personal devotions through His Word. He also uses the Holy Spirit to help guide us as He speaks to us. Many of you remember the days when pagers first came out. Maybe you remember the day when cell phones were finally available. It sure changed life, did it not? I was talking to Brother Don this week about a time when you desperately needed to get through to someone in the busy tone. That was a thing. And what am I going to do now? Aren't you glad today we have that clear communication? Sometimes it's almost a curse. You can get me anywhere I'm at, you know. But may I say today that we need to keep that line open with God. Clear communication. Eli was no longer in that position. He had lost his spiritual receptivity because he had tolerated evil by not restraining his sons. Samuel had been dedicated to the Lord, and he was able to hear heaven's message. And may I say, if you have sin in your life that's unconfessed, he will not hear you, the Bible says. But if you have that clear communication path open, you can hear from God. Sometimes we can get so used to God speaking to us. I remember in Indiana growing up, sometimes we'd leave the windows open overnight and you'd hear the birds in the morning and they'd wake you up. But if you did it long enough, you got so used to the birds singing that song that it didn't really affect you anymore. It wasn't that the birds weren't singing anymore, it was that you had tuned them out. And how oftentimes do we not have a clear communication, but we also can tune God out of our life? And God just wants to speak to us. Robertson says, the more we read the sacred pages, the better we know the Rock of Ages. Oh, make me, Lord, so much like Thee, my life controlled by power divine, that I am a shining light, maybe from Thy grace, which may ever shine. I was sharing with you how we moved into that building at the church and started having services. And it wasn't but 3 weeks later. I've shared the story before, so I won't go into all the details. But we've got a message that we had a tornado hit our church. And there was a lot of damage. There was tree limbs in the building. There was the roof had blown off. It was devastating to our town, to our church. And I'm thinking, oh, great, Lord. 3 weeks after I tell our church, this is it. This is going to be great! After I told God how ungrateful I was for so many weeks. This is going to be great! It's going to be awesome! We can't have church today, you know. But God just kept making a way. It was a waiting time for months, it seemed like. It was like our church was surrounded by gates like a prison guard, you know. Thankfully, they didn't put the spiral razors on top, you know. Our sewer then got plugged and we had to use the church, or the church. We had to use the construction workers' porta potties on Sunday. You know, it was a very trying time. Our patience was tested. And may I say, when you're waiting on God while you're serving God, sometimes your patience can get tested. You wonder, when's God going to speak? When's God going to tell me? But may I say, number three, if you're writing, we see Samuel, last of all, not just worked for the Lord, not just waited for the Lord. We see Samuel gained wisdom from the Lord in the waiting time. Oftentimes we get frustrated with the waiting time and God's actually trying to teach us something. Look what Samuel had to learn. In fact, as one person said, those who are taught in the deep things of God are those who wait much on God. I'm going to say that again. Those who are taught in the deep things of God are those who wait much on God. You show me someone who has good insight on the Scriptures, I'll show you someone who's willing to wait on God. To be unwilling to wait is to be unwilling to be taught and just do our own will. Have you ever seen someone who rushed into something and you just cautioned, why don't you pray about it a little bit? Why? Because to be unwilling to wait on God is to be unwilling to be taught of God and just do our own will. The Bible says in verse number 11, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel that both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. What a weighty message this young boy got. The word tingle is tasala, which means to tingle, quiver, or shake. This is going to be intense message from God. Samuel hears this. By the way, Paul's preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And sometimes the word from the Lord is challenging to us. It cuts right to us. We see in verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Now, we looked through all this last week. I won't go through it all again. But basically, we see the priest's office for Eli's family is going to come to an end. And judgment will come. Verse number 13, he says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restraineth them not." We see that he's going to have to tell Eli that, hey, your sons are going to die on the same day. Could you imagine that young man hearing that and saying, "Oh boy, I don't want to tell Eli that." Verse number 14, "And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." Basically, what God is telling Samuel, that nothing these boys can do is going to revert this. They will not be forgiven. They can't even perform the sacrifices that can bring forgiveness. Why? Because God wasn't a loving God? No, as Hebrews chapter 10, 26 tells us, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Basically, what that verse tells us is we cannot come to a place as a Christian where we cannot be forgiven. The only time we get to a place where we cannot be forgiven is when we reject God and His love. And church, I want to encourage you this morning, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, there will come a time when you will not be forgiven of your sins. You'll have to spend eternity in hell. So will you come to Christ before it's too late? My dear friend, if you are saved, thankfully we know that you cannot lose your salvation. We're thankful for that. But if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you say, "Pastor Justin, what does that mean? What is the gospel?" The gospel is simply that our sin, as we all have, for all have sinned, is keeping us from Jesus. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That means our sin is keeping us from Jesus Christ. And we can understand that, we can know that, but until we receive that into our life, we will not know for sure we're going to heaven. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." And I'm thankful as a young boy, I realized my sin, I realized what my penalty was, and I also realized that I wanted Jesus Christ to pay for that penalty. I'm thankful for the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you understand that? Do you believe that? Will you receive that even today? Look at verse number 15. Look how Samuel responded to this heavy knowledge from God. "And Samuel lay until the morning." Of course, he didn't sleep well at all. Have you ever tossed and turned in bed? We see young Samuel laying on his bed, ears tingling at the message from God. How is he ever going to tell Eli the power of the word of judgment? The Bible says, "And opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision." Wouldn't you? "Hey, Eli, how are you doing this morning? Your house is going to come to an end. Your sons are going to die. They won't be forgiven. See you later." You know, can you imagine? I know I'm trying to make light of it, but it was a very serious thing. "Then Eli called Samuel, and Samuel said, 'My son,' and he answered, 'Here am I.'" Of course, Eli, the first thing he asked was, "What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee?" Eli took initiative, thankfully. And Samuel had the pressure kind of alleviated, and then Samuel hears Eli tell him, of course, as he's wondering, "How am I going to share this? I pray thee, hide it not from me." Samuel is hearing Eli said. Eli says, "God do so to thee, and more also, if I hide anything from me, all the things that he said unto thee." Really, Eli gives him a gift here. He says, "Hey, if you won't tell me word for word what God told you, then that same judgment will come on you." Okay. Let me tell you exactly what he said. And so he does. And we'll look at that next week, and we'll look how Eli responds. Look how Eli's sons respond. But for today, since we're running out of time, I want us to see that Samuel was willing to give everything God said. And may I say today, sometimes sharing the truth is not easy. Not everybody, like Jonah, is eager to tell people about their future damnation. "Nineveh, you're going to all be destroyed." If you have a heart for God, you don't desire to tell people that. May I say, may we be faithful to share the truth and love. May we not be willing as Christians to say no but instead be faithful to share the truth of God's Word in a loving way. Be consistent with it. So my question to you today is just simply this. Do you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior? The outcome of not knowing the Lord is awful. It's penalty and judgment in hell forever. You say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. Well, the Bible says for all have sinned, even a little sin is enough. You miss the mark. And you need a Savior. Will you come to Christ today? Second of all, are you working for the Lord? Are you working for the Lord? You say, Pastor Justin, I want to hear from God. I want to know what God, my next step is. I want to know what God wants to do in my life. Well, it just starts with working for the Lord, serving the Lord. Second of all, are you waiting for a word from the Lord? And how are you doing in the waiting process? Are you listening? Are you doing what God wants so He will tell you which way you need to go? And then number three, are you gaining wisdom from God's Word and His Spirit? I shared with you about the tornado and a year later how $370,000 worth of upgrades was put into that building. That nasty clapboard, dry, flaking paint was all replaced. It looked beautiful. It looked gorgeous on the outside. But it was four or five years of helping our church. We kind of remodeled the whole inside of the building. And it looked just beautiful. And we finally decided we're going to buy this thing. And the people who owned it says, well, good. I'm glad you want to buy it. We're going to add $1 million to the value and you can pay us $1.2 million. Man, it just sunk as a church, as a pastor. You know, here we had done all this work and it's like we got penalized for it. During that time, of course, in the waiting time and trying to gain the wisdom, if you will, time, it was hard. I'll never forget, we moved up here and, of course, became the pastor here. And the next pastor came in and I told him, I said, Caleb, I said, just keep renting for $2,500 a month and they can have their building. Okay. And we write in the contract that we have first right of refusal if they ever find a buyer. I knew they probably weren't going to find a buyer for that price. And it was about a year or two later, he called me and said, hey, they have a church that's wanting to buy it for $600,000 and they're going to accept that offer. I said, well, I said, what are you going to do? He says, we have, if we can raise a certain amount of money, then we can get it. I said, what church is interested? And he goes, he named the church. And I thought, oh, not that church. Now, that church, let's just put it this way, isn't the type of church that I believe is pleasing the Lord. And I would hate to have that nice facility be given to them. And I know it's just a building, but it meant something to us. Over the course of 6 months, they started raising money and were able to put a down payment on it. And a couple weeks ago, they got the title for that building, free and clear. Now they still have to pay the rest of the mortgage, but it was just a blessing to see 7 years later, that first time going by that building thinking, no way, and God says, yes way. 7 years later, it all made sense. And I just want to encourage you today, when you're serving the Lord, when you're waiting on God, when you're learning the wisdom from God, you never always know exactly what's going to come or what the end of the story is. But I'll tell you this much, God has such a better ending than you could ever imagine. Amen. Will you trust Him? Will you keep being faithful and keep listening for His direction and following Him each step of the way? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? You say, Pastor Justin, I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven. Well, may I encourage you today that Jesus Christ wants to be your Lord and Savior. He came for you. He created you. He cares for you. He was crucified for you on the cross. All because He wanted to take your sin. He wanted to take your righteousness and replacing an exchange for your sin. He wanted it. He was willing to take it, but you have to accept it. He won't force it on you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, let me encourage you today. If you do not know Christ, will you accept Him today? You say, Pastor Justin, how do you do that? Well, years ago, I prayed and invited Jesus Christ in. I knew nothing but put my faith in Christ, faith and trust in Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor Justin, that's me. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. No one's looking around. I won't embarrass you, I promise. How many would say, Pastor Justin, that's me. I want Jesus in my life. If that's you, will you just slip up your hand this morning? I won't embarrass you. No one's looking. But if you would like Christ in your life, would you just raise your hand real quick and then put it down? Anyone maybe in the balcony? Oh, God bless you. I see that hand. Maybe say something like this in your life. Say, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm in need of a Savior. I don't want to go to hell. But I believe and trust in You. I invite You into my life. Please come into my heart and save me and take me to heaven when I die. Thank You, Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe somebody prayed that prayer. No one's looking around. I would not embarrass you. How many would say, Pastor Justin, that's me. I just prayed that prayer. If that's you, please slip up your hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Maybe there's someone online. God bless you. I see that hand as well. Maybe there's someone online that would like to pray that as well. Maybe there's someone that say, Pastor Justin, I just prayed that prayer. May I just say real quickly that God just saved you if you meant that. You repented of your way of thinking and accepted Him in your life. You are a child of God now. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want to encourage you to grow closer to the Lord. But how many would say, Pastor Justin, I may be wanting to know what that next step is in my life, but until then, I'm willing to keep on working and serving the Lord. Will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you all over. Maybe there was someone that would say, Pastor Justin, not only will I keep working for the Lord, but in the waiting time, I want to keep the channel wide open in my life to hear from God. Pastor Justin, will you pray for me in the waiting time? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? God bless you all over. Maybe there's someone today who would say, not just am I serving the Lord, or not just I'm working or waiting for the Lord, but I'm willing to, instead of being frustrated and upset at God, I'm willing to gain the wisdom God has for me to learn during the time of waiting. Will you pray for me, Pastor Justin, that you always lift up your hand? God bless you, Lord. You see the hands. You know the hearts. Maybe there's someone here today that's just burdened and overwhelmed. You say, Pastor Justin, I'm just overwhelmed this morning. I'm burdened. It's not that I'm not willing to wait or wait. I just really want you to pray for my need this morning. I have a hard time I'm going through, a difficult season. There's just something I need to give to God. And will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? God bless you, Lord. You see the hands. You know the hearts. Lord, I don't know how all You're going to use this message today. And perhaps there's more things that they need to work through with You, Lord. But I pray that we'll at least stay busy working in the times of waiting. We'll be willing to be patient in the times of waiting. And we'll be willing to gain the wisdom You have for us in the time of waiting. Even though it might take several years, we'll be willing to trust You through it. Some find out in a few weeks, a few days, a few months. Sometimes it takes longer. But I pray You help us as we sin to grow, like Samuel, to become who You want us to be for You. May You help us during these tough times. We sure do love You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano is going to play. The altar is open. If you'd like to come forward and just spend some time with the Lord today, let me encourage you to do that. The altar is open. Maybe you'd like to follow the Lord in baptism or join the church. Of course, the altar is open as well. Maybe we'd like to talk to some of our pastoral staff about that. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe you have a heavy burden or something you're dealing with. They'd love to talk to you this morning and pray with you. May I encourage you to pray for those around you as the piano plays. People are coming. God's moving. May I encourage you to just spend some time this morning with God as the piano plays. God bless you. I appreciate your faithfulness. You listened well. If you could be seated just for a second. We've got about a 2-minute video. We'll get you out in just a second. We want to share some upcoming events. If you got a minute, another minute. Guests, we're so glad you're here. Thank you for coming. We really do want to meet you and connect with you. And let's watch this video, then we'll be dismissed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. We hope this morning service was a blessing to you. Join us tonight at 5 p.m. to hear another sermon from Pastor Justin. Our practices for Children's Easter Choir continue tonight. This is for children 5 years old through 6th grade. We'll be performing during the Only Jesus program on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. Bring your children to the service tonight at 5. If you have any questions, see Kristen Vestal.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical Only Jesus on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. There will also be an egg hunt on property for all children and teens up through 12th grade. If you could help us by bringing individually wrapped candy, there is a bin on the welcome desk. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and coworkers to join us for our services. So mark your calendars as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior.
The Best Years Club will have a taco salad bar on Friday, March 22nd at noon. Enjoy fellowship with like-minded Christians and a great meal together. It will be in the Abundant Life Room, and the cost is $10 per person.
Join us next Sunday night at 5 p.m. for our Level Up teaching and training modules. Come and choose 2 of the modules on various topics from the lineup. Don't miss the special time of training with something for every Christian.
Baptism Sunday is April 7th. If you've not followed the Lord in baptism and would like to be baptized on this day, please sign up at the welcome desk. Invite cards are available as well. If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you, and you will receive a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we will see you tonight at 5.
Amen. Tonight, because so many of our people are going through a difficult season, I feel like the Lord put it on my heart to preach a message on our everlasting rock, who God is, and who all He is to us. And I think it'll be a help and encouragement. So if you could come back tonight, I think you'd be blessed by it. Please know God loves you, and this pastor loves you. Have a great afternoon. You are dismissed.